Matthew chapter 7, we'll read two verses. In case you do not have the Bible, you can listen to the word as it is being read. Matthew chapter 7, we're reading verses 13 and verse 14. Reading in English, "Enter he in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in it. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Shall we just bow our heads for a small word of prayer? Father, we thank you for these two verses that have been read. We thank you, Lord, that it declares about your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening we have gathered in his name, and in his promise that he is amidst us. We thank you, Father, that in our midst there are those who have never known you. We thank you that in our midst there are those who are dying to know you. We praise you, O Father, for this opportunity to share the good news of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this good news has the power to deliver them. It has the power to forgive them. We thank you that this good news is a matter of life and death for them. So, Father, we pray that this opening that you have given us, Lord, you would give us the right utterances, that it might be spoken with your power, that not the wisdom of man, nor the eloquency of man's speech, but your power would turn the heart of a sinful man. We thank you, O Father, that it is your word that can break a hard-hearted heart, that can bend a stiff-necked person. We can thank you, O Father, that your word can change us. It can transform us. And Father, we pray that today be a testimony of your word. We pray, O Father, that this word as it goes out, as in according to your will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which purposes or that which you have willed. We pray, O Father, for every soul that is seated here, including myself, that this word would sanctify us, and it would make us new and renewed in your presence. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I first of all thank God for this privilege to share this message with you. I thank God because I understand this is not a coincidence that you are sitting here. It is also a fact that in this city of teeming millions, you might be an insignificant person. You might not be a person of so much importance. You might be a person who just sits, eats, drinks, sleeps, gets up and nothing more. But I want to tell you that this is a message straight from God's word. It is from the Bible, and that is from God himself. And it is a message that says that God immensely, infinitely loves you. He loves you as much as if you are the only person to be loved. And it doesn't matter how insignificant you are in the eyes of men, in the eyes of Lord Jesus Christ, you are so significant that he loves you. You are so important to Christ that he gave his life and died for you. And my intention today is to tell you about his death. Why did he die for you? And it is my intention and my prayer that as you receive this word, you would receive it with an open heart. Because this is a word that is most loved by people, and it is also most hated by people. This good news, or the gospel as the way the Bible calls it, is a message where people have been killed over it. It's a message that people have sacrificed their lives that it comes to us today. And that's why this message is not something that I'm saying out of my will, but I'm telling you out of my experience that this is a message that changes, transforms life. There is a reason why your life needs to be transformed. There is a reason why your life should be totally new, like never before. It is required that you leave back the things that disobey and dishonor God. For example, there is a story that is said about Albert Einstein. It was said that he was once traveling from one place to another in a train, and when he was seated somewhere in the middle of the compartment, the TC came in to check each and every person's ticket. So the TC went from one person to the other asking for ticket, and when he came to Albert Einstein to ask for the ticket, he reached out his hand to the pocket but found there was no ticket. Then he checked both his pockets, he checked his bag, he checked his briefcase, he checked the seat around, he checked under the seat. No matter how much he checked, he couldn't find the ticket.
लेकिन कहीं नहीं मिल पाया.
Finally, the TC very comfortingly said, Dr. Einstein, we know who you are. We know you would have definitely bought a ticket. It's okay. And saying that, the TC went ahead, and when he reached the end of the compartment, finishing all checking, he looked behind. And when he looked behind, Albert Einstein was still looking around for the ticket. He was still frantically searching for the ticket. So finally, the TC again went back to Einstein and said, Einstein, we know who you are. We believe you have bought a ticket. It's okay. Finally, Einstein also very irritatingly said, young man, I know who I am. The problem is, what I don't know is where am I going? And that is not what Einstein said for himself, but truly that can be said about each one of us. Do you really know where you are going? The question is not what you are today and what you will become tomorrow. Those things you might know. But the question is, if you were to die today, you know where are you going? Do you know this life, where it ends? Do you know when it ends? Do you know why it ends? Do you know why you're alive over here for first place? Do you know why you were born? I mean, you know how to live, you know how to eat and drink and sleep and all, but do you know where this journey is all going to? Unfortunately, like Einstein, for most of us, our life is like a journey which has no destination. But I can say from confidence that because of this message of the good news, I not only know who I am, but I know where I'm going. It is this confidence that I can say that today, even if because of unfortunate events I would die today, yet I know after my death, where would I end up? That is why Lord Jesus in this passage says there are two ways. There are two ways, two roads, two paths, two ways you can live your life. And you will definitely be in one of those two ways. One is called the narrow way. One is called the broad way, so big, so wide. The best part is the Lord tells you the destination, where the narrow way will end, where the broad way will end. My most important question today is, which way are you on? Which way do you live your life? There are three things I can tell you. First thing, there are many ways, many ways to go to hell. Second thing, there is just one way that you can use to escape hell. And in case you end up in hell because you are not on that one way, then remember this, there is no way you can come out of it. Once you reach the destination, it is a one-way ticket, you can't come out of it. Either you are on the narrow way, either on your broad way. Once you reach the end, you can't do anything to come out of it. If there's anything you can do it today, right now. If you want to come out from the way that leads to hell, from the way that leads to destruction, you can do it only today. If you want to start today onwards, you want to live on a way that leads to heaven, only today you can make that decision. The Lord says, there is a broad way. It's so wide. It has so many ways in it. It is so broad that there are so many people on it. I can tell you that most of the people alive on this earth are on this way. And despite so many people being on it, there is still space for more. This is the most comfortable life you can live. It is a life that has space for you. It is a life that has space for your sins. It is a life that has space for your pleasures. It is so broad for everything. It is a space, it has anything in earth and under the sun that you can accommodate in it. You might say, this is the way I want to be in. This is the way I want to live in. But the Lord Jesus says, this way that is broad leads to destruction. But there are few that will come out of this broad way, that will leave their sins apart, that will repent of their sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. There are just few people who will come out of this broad way and start walking on this narrow way. This is so narrow that it has space only for you. It has no space for your sin. It has no space for your pleasures. It has no space for your good works that you can think that you own. No space for your fame and claim that you can have in this world. It has space for you. The question is today, are you willing to leave behind your sins? Are you ready to turn away from the sinful life and ask forgiveness from the Lord? The Bible says this narrow way is the way of peace. The Bible says this broad way is the way of destruction and misery. Bible says this way of narrow way is a way of understanding and wisdom. This broad way is a way of foolishness. This narrow way is a way that leads to God. This broad way is a way that leads you to eternal alienation from God. The question is, in which way are you on? It gets more beautiful. This narrow way has a name. The name is Lord Jesus himself. Because Lord Jesus said, I quoted to you, he said, I am the way. I am the way to the Father. And no man can ever reach God without me. The Lord Jesus so boldly said that it is me and only through me that you can reach heaven. You need to ask, why such bold claims? Why should I believe such bold claims? You see over here, the word says that not only the way is narrow, it says that the way has a gate which is also narrow. At the start of this way is a gate which is narrow. And this gate is also Lord Jesus Christ. To quote him again, he said, I am the door. You see, it is not only the way is narrow, it is not only your life being narrow. At the very start, at the very gate itself, at the start itself, you need to leave behind your sins. But how can you get rid of your sins? Can you control your sins? You know, a lot of people say they can control it. But from my experience and from the Bible itself, more importantly, it is not possible that we can get rid of our burdens. For example, I was just seeing this advertisement that was given for smoking. Now, this was the social experiment that was done where small children were trained to go to smokers in the public spaces and ask them one question, can you give me a lighter because I also have a cigarette, I want to smoke. So all these children, small children with a cigarette in their hand, they go and ask for lighters. And what that advertisement showed, that every single smoker did not give a lighter. Every single smoker said it is wrong to smoke. Some even said that your children, you should not smoke, you will die. No matter how much the children would ask the smokers, please give a lighter, they would not give a lighter. Finally, the kids who were well trained, they gave a small envelope and left the scene. And when the smoker would open the envelope, it is written in there, if you know so well, why do you smoke? You see, we don't sin because we like it. Sometimes we know it is wrong, but still we sin. It is impossible to control it. It is impossible that we can let go of our sins. But here is the good news that Lord Jesus said. He said that if you confess your sins, and if you confess with your mouth that Lord is God, that Lord Jesus is God, then he will save you. He said he will forgive you. Isn't it amazing that all your sins from the day you were born till this time, everything can be forgiven, can be washed away, can be taken away. That you can be a person only yourself, all your burdens are taken away. And you need to come to that narrow way, that narrow gate, Lord Jesus Christ, who can take away your sin. And Lord Jesus Christ did not simply say, I will take away your sin. You know it very well that he died on a cross. He died on a cross which we just sang, Calvary, that the Mount of Calvary where he died. And the Bible says that he died for your sins. He died that you can be forgiven. He was manifested to take away your sins. He gave himself for your sins. And that's why Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. That is why I was saying at the very beginning, this is an infinite love that somebody has died for you. You see, you need not accept this message. But it is impossible for you to ignore such love. That the Lord who created you would also die for your sins. You might ask, why should the Lord die? I didn't ask him to die for me. Well, that's because the Lord said that the punishment of every sin is death. And that is what the Lord was doing on the cross. He was taking your punishment. He was taking the punishment of your sin. He was taking the punishment of greed that we have. He was taking the punishment of jealousy that we have. He was taking the punishment of hatred that we have. He was taking the punishment of unreasonable anger that we have sometimes. He was taking the punishment of our expletive words that we say sometimes. Yes, he was taking the punishment of every smoker that smoked, of every adulterer, of every drunkard, He took all the sins away. I can tell you that the Lord Jesus was born in this world to take away your sins. And He did that by dying for your sins, by taking away the punishment of your sins. Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to die because He was God, He was holy, but He loved you. That is why He died for you. You need to confess two things. You need to confess that Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. And secondly, that God has raised Him up from the dead. He is not a dead God. If He was dead, then there is no point of sitting like that. If He was dead, then there is no power in the Bible that we hold. He is alive today, and that's why He has all the power to save you from your sins. What all that He asks from you, He is asking you just one word, and that is faith. Are you ready to believe Him that He is God? Are you ready to believe that He died for me? Are you ready to believe that He died and rose again on the third day? You know, if the Lord Jesus asked me that I need to be a good person and I need to overcome my sins, I would have failed. I cannot overcome my sins. It is impossible that I not overcome my sins. But the Lord just asks for me faith. And I remember the night when I believed that the Lord died for me, a sinner. I believed that He rose again, that He is listening to the prayer. From that day to this moment, life has never been the same. It is not a life where I'm trying to be a good person before God. It is not a life where I'm struggling to overcome my sins. It's a life where He made me new. He made me new that I don't have to sin. It is such newness that I can't explain, but you can experience when you yourself believe. All you have to do is faith, believe. You know, it's instead of a classroom where the Bible was being taught, and the teacher was explaining to these children that you need to believe and you need to have faith. And he was finding it difficult to tell these small children what is faith, what is there to believe, how to believe. All the children were so intelligent that they were not ready to believe. How just believe and be saved? How just believe and get salvation? Finally, the teacher took his watch. He unstrapped his watch and he gave it to the first student. A very expensive watch, and he said, "You go take it." And the first student was like, "I can't take it." He became so modest. "It's so expensive, so you keep it." And then he went to the next student and next student and next student, and nobody would take it. He was giving the watch, "Take it." And the children would say, "No, I will not take it." Finally, he went to a very small kid. He said, "Take it." And without a single thought, he took it and strapped it on his hand. And everybody was shocked. "Sir, did you really mean you're going to give it?" And that's when the sir said, "This is faith. The Lord has given His life for you. Can you take it? He's giving salvation as a gift. Can you take it? That today if you were to die, you would be with Him. That this is an assurance. Can you take it? If you have to take it, you need to believe it. Then only you would take it." And I pray that this message, you would always keep it in your heart. Remember to forsake your sins and believe in Lord Jesus Christ. God's name be glorified.